नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नैव द्विजे परधृत्यय वैतरण्या नैव द्विजे परधृत्यय वैतरण्या ताद्वीर्यगायन महामृतमग्नचित्तः तद्वीर्यगायन महामृतमग्नचित्तः शोचेततो विमुखचेतस इन्द्रियार्त शोचेततो विमुखचेतस इन्द्रियार्त माया सुकाय भरम उढ़वहतो विमूढ़ं माया सुकाय भरम उढ़वहतो विमूढ़ं नैव द्विजे परधृत्यय वैतरण्या तद्वीर्यगायन महामृतमग्नचित्तः शोचेततो विमुखचेतस इन्द्रियार्ता मायासुकाय भरम् उढ़वहतो विमूढ़ं नैव द्विजे परधृत्यय वैतरण्यास् तद्वीर्यगायन महामृतमग्नचित्तः शोचेततो विमुखचेतस इन्द्रियार्त माया सुखाय भरम उद्वहतो विमूढ़ं नैव द्विजे परधृत्यय वैतरण्यास् त्वद्वीर्यगायन नामामृतमग्नचेतः माया सुखाय भरम उद्वहतो विमूढ़ं नैव द्विजे च परकृत्य विवर्तरण्यास् तद्वीर्यगायन महामृतमग्नकैत माया सुकाय भरम उद्वहतो विमूढ़ं नैव द्विजे परधृत्यय वैतरण्यास् तद्वीर्यगायन महामृतमग्नचित्तः शोचेततो विमुक्तचेतस इन्द्रियार्त माया सुखाय भरम उद्वहतो विमूढ़ं Naivo dvice paradharatyaya vaitaranyas Tadviryagayana mahamrita vakta chetaha Socheta tovi mukacheta se endriyata Maya sukaya bharam udvahato vimutam Naivo dvije paradhyatya yavaitaranyas Tadviryagayana mahamrita magna chetaha Socheta tomu kauticheta sunhanyata Ladies, naivo dvije paradhyatya virante andhyas tadvir yagayana mahamrita magna chitaha indiyata Maya sukaya bharam udvahato vimutan na not eva certainly udvije I am disturbed or afraid vala O supreme durateya insurmountable or very difficult to cross Vaitaranya, of the Vaitarani, the river of the material world. Tvatvirya, of your lordship's glories and activities. Gayana, from chanting or distributing. Mahaamrita, in the great ocean of nectarian spiritual bliss. Magna Chitaha, whose consciousness is absorbed. Soche, I am simply lamenting. Tataha, from that. Vimukka Chetasa, the fools and rascals who are bereft of Krishna consciousness. Indriyata, in sense gratification, maya sukaya, for temporary illusory happiness, bharam, the false burden or responsibility of maintaining one's family, society and nation, and elaborate arrangements for that purpose. Udvahata, who are lifting by making great plans for this arrangement. Vimudham, although all of them are nothing but fools and rascals, I am thinking of them also. Translation. O best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Throughout the entire world, everyone is making big, big plans to adjust the miseries of the material world. And this is true at present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, They have all been described herein as vimudha, fools. The material world has been described in Bhagavad Gita as dukkalayam ashashvatam, temporary and miserable. But these fools are trying to turn the material world into sukkalayam, a place of happiness, not knowing how everything acts by the arrangement of material nature, which works in her own way. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, text 27. There is a plan for material nature, personally known as Durga, to punish the demons. Although the asuras, the godless demons, struggle for existence, they are directly attacked by the goddess Durga, who is well equipped with 10 hands with different types of weapons to punish them. She is carried by her lion carrier, or the modes of passion and ignorance. Everyone struggles very hard to fight through the modes of passion and ignorance and conquer material nature, but at the end, everyone is vanquished by nature's laws. There is a river, known as Vaitarani, between the material and spiritual worlds, and one must cross this river to reach the other side, or the spiritual world. This is extremely difficult task. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text number 14, Daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya dharatyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. The same word, dharatyaya, meaning very difficult, is used here. Therefore, one cannot surpass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again to become happy in the material world. Therefore, they have been described as vimudha, first-class fools. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy, for although he was in the material world, he was full of Krishna consciousness. Those who are Krishna conscious, trying to serve the Lord, are not unhappy. Whereas one who has no assets in Krishna consciousness and is struggling for existence is not only foolish, but extremely unhappy also. Prahlad Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because of his being Krishna conscious, yet he felt great unhappiness for the fools and rascals who make elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate grim yat kripa taraham bande shri gurun dinatarnam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanyeshwaram. Hare Krishna. So today is the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev. The Lord can take various, does take various forms. We know from the prayer by Srila Jayadev Goswami, the Dasavataram, is described there, the Lord's various incarnations. The Lord is incarnated as a fish, as a tortoise, as a boar, for various pastimes. And as Lord Nrsimhadev, the half-man, half-lion incarnation. The Lord has his incarnations as the Purusha avatars, the Manvantars, Shaktivesh avatars, and Leela avatars. So Lord Nrsimhadev is a Leela avatar. The manifest is transcendental form for a particular pastime. And that pastime is he's protecting his devotee. The Lord is known as Vatsalya. Bhakta Vatsalya. He's very affectionate towards his devotees. And this pastime of Prahlad Maharaj exemplifies how affectionate the Lord is for his devotees. The Lord is so pleased by Prahlad Maharaj. Even Lord Brahma says in the Brihad Bhagavatam Amrita that he's more pleased with Prahlad than me, or even Lord Shiva, or even Lakshmi Devi. Actually, Lord Shiva said that. And he said, I won't say that too loud because Lakshmi might hear that. But Prahlad is very, very dear to the Lord. And why is that? Because of Prahlad's demoniac father. Prahlad had to go through so much difficulties. And that's true even today. One may have a son, we see, and the son may be going to college, studying, learning engineering, and the father is fine with that. But if the devotees come to his college and preach to him about Krishna consciousness, and then the son tells his father, Dad, I want to join the temple. Then his father becomes very upset. What? You rascal? And then if he joins the temple, then the father comes to the temple and complains, I want my son back. When Giriraj Maharaj was temple president here in Juhu, his father and mother came all the way to India to meet Srila Prabhupada. Right? So they came to Srila Prabhupada's quarters, and Giriraj Maharaj's father was a very wealthy man, so he gave Srila Prabhupada a signed check, and he said, you fill in the amount, but give me back my son. And Srila Prabhupada said, your son is free to go. We are not keeping him here by force. If he likes, he can go. So, this is true even today. Hiranyakasipu, when he saw that his son, who he expected to be a great politician like him, a conqueror of the three worlds, was becoming a follower of Vishnu, his arch enemy, he became very angry. He became very disturbed. And in many different ways, he tried to kill Prahlad. Put him under an elephant. He threw him off a cliff. He put him in a vat of burning oil. He gave him poison. But Prahlad offered his food to Krishna and nullified the poison. So in every way, his attempt to kill Prahlad had failed. And then Hiranyakasipu became worried. How was it that his son had become so powerful? Hiranyakasipu had performed severe austerities to become immortal. He wanted to become immortal. He would never die. So he was fasting, standing on one leg, doing severe austerities. And an anthill had even formed around his body, and the ants had eaten all the skin off his bones. All that was left was his bones. But yet he was maintaining his life force within the bones. And he was becoming so powerful, it was creating a disturbance in the universe, and the demigods went to Lord Brahma and said, go to him and pacify him. So Lord Brahma, he went to where Hiranyakashipu was performing his austerities, and he took some water from his kamandalu and threw it on him, and he regained his form back. So Lord Brahma asked him, what do you want? He said, I want to become immortal. And Lord Brahma said, well, I'm sorry. I'm not even immortal myself. How can I make you immortal? He said, Hiranyakashipu then said to Lord Brahma, well then, at least let me not be killed in the day or in the night, or by any man or any animal. And he went on, not inside the house, not outside the house. And he was trying to cover all the different aspects or ways that one could be killed. So Lord Brahma gave him all those benedictions. And Hiranyakashipu, due to the benedictions of Lord Brahma, became very powerful, and he conquered the whole universe. All of the demigods were offering obeisances to Hiranyakashipu. And even if he raised his eyebrow, the demigods would shudder in fear. Even Narada Muni would offer his pranams to Hiranyakashipu. He was so powerful. But even though he had such great opulence, even though he had such great power, his son, his dear son, who he had so much affection for, was a devotee of his arch enemy, Vishnu. Why was Vishnu his enemy? Because Vishnu had killed his brother, Hiranyaksha, and he was sworn to avenge his brother. So what to do? He told the teachers of Prahlad, you watch this boy and teach him properly, but it didn't work. Instead of teaching Prahlad, Prahlad taught the sons of the demons, his student, the other students in the class, about Krishna consciousness. Failing everything else, he tried to kill his son, but that also failed. So he was thinking, and he asked Prahlad, where have you got these powers? Where have you got such power? And Prahlad answered, my dear father, I got the power from the same place that you got power. Where's that? And he said, from God. And then Hiranyakashipu became more angry. And he said, where is your God? Show me your God. I'll kill him. And Hiranyakashipu pointed to the pillar. And he said, And Prahlad said, he's everywhere. He said, well, he's in this pillar. And Prahlad was seeing the pillar. And he was actually seeing the form of Lord Nrisimhadev in the pillar. And when Prahlad confidently answered, yes, he's in the pillar, Hiranyakashipu drew his sword and struck the pillar with all his might. And the pillar cracked open, and the form of Lord Nrisimhadev appeared. Nrisimha Maharaj ki jai. And there's such a tumultuous roar, it cracked the heart of all the demons. And then Hiranyakashipu began to fight. He drew his sword and began to fight with Lord Nrisimhadev. Such a fearful form. No one had seen such a form as this. So fearful and so angry. Hiranyakasipu was hiding behind a shield and fighting like this. So fearful. And Lord Nrisimhadev grabbed him like a cat grabs a mouse. And then in the next moment, he let Hiranyakasipu go. You know, cats do that sometimes. They catch a mouse, they let it go, they catch it again, they let it go, they catch it again. But Hiranyakasipu thought, now I'm free, I'll kill this rascal. And just as he thought that, Lord Nrisimhadev placed Hiranyakasipu on his lap and he took his nails and bifurcated Hiranyakasipu and killed him. So, Prahlad was there, the demigods were there, Lord Nrisimhadev was there, a form of the Lord, very wonderful, that no one had seen before, but very angry. Very, very angry. And Lord Brahma was thinking, how to pacify the Lord? He's so angry. So they thought, okay, we'll send Lakshmi Devi, his wife. You know, wives know how to pacify husbands, you know, even though they get angry. No problem for a wife. She just calms him down. Right? But when they sent Lakshmi Devi before Lord Nrisimhadev, she thought, well, I've never seen my husband so angry like this. I've never seen him even in such a form. Maybe this is not my husband. She had a doubt. Right? And a chaste lady never goes to anyone but her husband. So she came back. So again, Lord Brahma was perplexed. What to do? So then he thought, oh yes, we'll send Prahlad. And as soon as Prahlad went before Lord Nrisimhadev and fell at the feet of Lord Nrisimhadev, Lord Nrisimhadev immediately became pacified. And he picked up Prahlad, he put him on his lap, and he began to lick the small boy Prahlad with his tongue, again and again, just like an affectionate cat with its kitten. Right? So by the touch of Lord Nrisimhadev's hand on his head, Prahlad became completely filled with prema, love of Godhead. And he offered these wonderful prayers to pacify the Lord. So in this particular prayer, Prahlad is saying that he's not afraid of material existence because he's situated in the Lord's devotional service. And Prabhupada mentions that this material world is very fearful for all the living entities who are in it. It's fearful because every living entity in the material is threatened by non-existence. They have a material body. And even though the nature of every living entity is to live eternally, by dint of being in a material body, they're threatened with non-existence at any moment. But for those who are fully absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord, in hearing the glories of the Lord, and those who extol the glories of the Lord, who broadcast the glories of the Lord, they are not affected in the same way as non-devotees. Because there's a continuum of their activities. Their consciousness is filled with the Lord and His service. So whether they're in this body, or they have to change bodies, whether they're in the heavenly planets or the hellish planets, their activities are the same. They're Narayana Pada. They're fixed in service to the Supreme Lord. Their consciousness is fixed in rendering service to the Lord. But Prahlad did have a concern. It wasn't concern for himself, but his concern was for others, other foolish persons. Prabhupada calls them fools. Why? Why are they foolish? Because of Maya Sukaya. They're trying to find happiness in Maya. Trying to make big buildings and sell them off and make money and think they'll become happy. Maya Sukaya. Just this last weekend is a good example of Maya Sukaya. Why? Because it was a 4-day weekend. Friday was May 1st. Saturday was a half day, so you could easily take it off. Sunday was an off day. Tomorrow's an off day. Right? 4-day weekend. Hari Bol. We're going to enjoy. Let's go to Goa. Right? Get your kids together. Get the car filled up with gas. And get out on the highway down to the beaches of Goa. Let's enjoy. Right? Wrong. Because everybody had the same idea. So what happened? There was a huge traffic jam on the Goa highway all the way from Bombay down to Goa. Stop and go traffic, bumper to bumper, and people only suffered. They got down there just in time to turn around and come back. Maya Sukaya. Suffering. Their intention is that they'll enjoy. And they're making elaborate plans for that enjoyment. But in the end, there's always some kind of fly in the soup, sand in the sweet rice, or whatever you want to say. They don't quite enjoy. So Prahlad, seeing the situation of these unfortunate materialists, is very unhappy. He's very unhappy. So everyone in the material world is in the same situation, trying to adjust the material nature in such a way, trying to arrange it in such a way that it can make this place Sukalayam. A place of happiness. But it doesn't happen. It doesn't work. The only happiness is when you stay awake in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. That's a devotee's happiness. Prabhupada said, if you don't stay awake in the Bhagavatam class, it means you're a Shudra. And if you don't stay awake during prasadam, you're less than a shudra. Anyway, the point is, be awake. Because that's the nectar for the devotee, to be able to hear about Krishna, Krishna's devotees. But even though Prahlad had such an exalted position, such love for the Supreme Lord, prema, still he didn't think himself an exalted devotee. He wasn't aspiring for anything. Right? He wasn't thinking, yes, I'll become a big devotee and I'll do Bhagavad Katas and many people will come and listen to me and I will make a lot of money. He had nothing to aspire for like that. Right? He was not thinking that, you know, my happiness depends upon having some position. Right? I should be this, I should be that. Then I will be happy. Prahlad's only intention was to satisfy the Lord. He didn't want to be glorified. He didn't want to be glorified. I remember when Srila Prabhupada had just left, and at that time there were only 11 gurus. One of the gurus said that, you know, envy is such a powerful thing. he said that even though you're a guru, if you see that another guru gets a gold ring from his disciple, then the other guru might think, why aren't my disciples so sincere that they give me a gold ring? So he was just thinking how powerful Maya is. Even great personalities like Lord Brahma, they recognize Prahlad's unique position of being favored by the Supreme Lord for his devotion. So we may think that it's so difficult, this Vaitarani, crossing over this river of material existence over to the spiritual world, it's such a difficult job. Why should I even try? Just forget it. It's not possible. Right? And certainly that kind of frustration may come about. But the devotee of the Lord always anticipates and works for and expects to get the mercy of the Lord. Yes, undoubtedly it's very difficult. On our own effort, it won't be possible to come to the position of devotion that Prahlad Maharaj has. But Prahlad, as Prahlad Maharaj gives all credit to his spiritual master, Narada Muni, in the same way, if we take shelter of Krishna's pure devotee and beg for his mercy, and if he has just a inkling of kripa upon our fallen souls, then wonderful things, the most wondrous thing, can become possible. So on this day of Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance day, we're fasting, right? We're not cooking, so we have some extra time. Let us meditate on how we can try to get that special, extraordinary, unalloyed mercy of the Lord's devotee upon ourselves. So that we can actually come to the point of pure devotional service. Failing which, of course, there's no loss or diminution in devotional service. Whatever platform we've come to will remain there, even if we take a detour or a vacation, as they say. Right? We'll start where we left off. Right? So don't worry. But at the same time, let us remember time and not waste it. We've gotten this far. We know what the goal of life is. We have the perfect example of a pure devotee before us, Srila Prabhupada, and his sincere followers. So let us follow them. Let us take up that association. Taking up that association doesn't mean proximity of bodies. It means following. It means following the good example. That means taking up association. So let us follow that, follow in their footsteps by trying to have some compassion for those persons who are trying to become happy in this material world, and in this way make our own lives perfect. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna. I have two questions. One is, why was Lord became so angry even after achieving his goal of killing Hiranyakashipu? Thereafter he was very, very angry. Can you please tell us one?
Did you ever get in a fight with somebody?
Sorry?
Did you ever get in a fight with somebody?
But he was successful.
Did you ever get in a fight with somebody? Did you ever get in a fight with somebody?
I did.
You did? Did you get angry?
I did.
Right. So even though you came to the point of being angry, you didn't immediately become unangry, did you?
When you achieve the goal, you definitely become quietened down.
Well, I don't want to get into your pastime of your fight with your friend or whatever it was. But if you remember back, even after you achieved the goal, still you were angry, right? So, you know, you work up the anger, and when you get really angry, then you can, quote-unquote, achieve the goal. But the anger doesn't go away right away, right? So Lord Nrisimhadev was in that transition. Yeah, he had killed Hiranyakasipu, no doubt, but he was still angry, because he had worked himself up into that situation of being angry.
It seems that he started destroying things, and he was cursed by Saptarishi.
He killed the soldiers of Hiranyakasipu.
Was he cursed by Saptarishis?
I don't know. You tell me.
That's what I heard. I mean,
yeah?
Right?
Yeah. Nobody can curse the Supreme Lord.
Saptarishis had cursed him.
Where did you hear that from?
Oh yeah, that I read from.
Pardon?
I read somewhere.
Where?
In one of the.
Okay. Well, anyway, what was your other question? That was the other part of your question. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nrisimha Bhagavan ki jai. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.